The safety is off. There's a round in the chamber. This is Armed Alabama, sponsored by McCoy Outdoor Company, Mobile's hometown full-line outdoor sporting products and gear store, an interactive talk show discussing self-defense, product reviews, shooting tips, safety, and more. Your calls, comments, and texts welcome at 343-0106. Now, here are your hosts, retired judge and certified NRA instructor, Rusty Johnston, and certified NRA law enforcement instructor, Adam Strange.
Good evening, this is Judge Rusty Johnston, and welcome to the Armed Alabama Show for December 24th, 2019. This is our Christmas Eve edition. There's nobody here tonight. We tape recorded this a couple of days ago, so if you call in, expect a long telephone ring before somebody answers. Adam Strange, my co-host, has the night off, and we're going to have a great show for you tonight. Remember, don't call in. This is recorded, but it's a new show. Armed Alabama is Alabama's only firearms-based FM radio talk show. We talk about pistols, revolvers, shotguns, concealed carry, ammunition, training, and attacks on our God-given right to protect ourselves and our family. If you've never heard us before, start listening to us every Tuesday night at 7.05 p.m. Central Time on FM Talk 106.5 here in Mobile, Alabama. If you're out of the listening area, you can listen to us on Facebook Live, and you just go to Armed Alabama Radio, FM Talk 106.5. You can also listen to us on the FM Talk Radio website. That's www.fmtalk1065.com. Or the Armed Alabama Radio website, that's www.armedalabama.com, and go to the radio station portion. You can also listen to us on YouTube. That's also live. Just search Armed Alabama, and you'll see the live button. But not tonight, because we're not live. While I'm on that subject, we need about 100 more subscribers to get to 1,500, which kind of gives us another boost and features we can have. So if you haven't subscribed, or your child, or wife, husband, whatever, hadn't subscribed, go to YouTube and subscribe to the Armed Alabama channel. Get us over, I think we're at 1,400 and some odd. So I'm also, if we get to that 1,500, on the night after Christmas, that's Thursday, December 26th at 7 p.m. on YouTube, I'm going to have as long as y'all want to talk, a show live on the air where you can comment on our YouTube channel, which is entitled right now, I Got a Gun for Christmas, Now What Do I Do? And, you know, a lot of people have gotten a gun, they're a little unsure. And remember, our friend O.D. Cleaver always said, it ain't Christmas unless you got a gun under the tree. I want to thank our sponsors, particularly McCoy Outdoor Company, and you can visit them either on the web at McCoyOutdoorCO.com or in the Spring Hill Plaza, that's on Spring Hill Avenue, just west of I-65, open Monday through Friday, 9 to 6, and on Saturday, 9 to 5, and closed Sunday. Also, Mike Ward Liberty Safes. You can get safes of any type, from types you can put into your car to big vaults, actually. And they are on the I-65 west side of the service road, right there at Moffitt Road. They've got a big billboard that has a picture of a sign on. Also want to thank Buck Allen, who normally sings our intro. We replaced him with a little Christmas music tonight. Great guy, singer, songwriter, Buck Allen. Also want to thank the law firm of Taylor Martino and Rowan, who sponsored us. By the way, if you're like me and have a hearing problem due to gunshots and think it might be due to defective product, give them a call. Or that's either 800-256-7728. Or 251-433-3131, or visit them on the web at taylormartino.com. And they're downtown on St. Louis Street. And remember, no representation is made that the quality of legal services to be performed is greater than the quality of legal services performed by other lawyers. We've got a great show set up for you tonight. We've got an attorney in Springfield named Dee Wampler, a good friend of mine who also is a co-host on Matt Canovey's The Gun Show. And we're going to give him a call in just a minute and talk about a number of issues, peaceable carry, constitutional rights with guns, that type of thing. And so you might want to make notes, and when we come back that after Christmas, Thursday night after Christmas, do you have any questions, ask them then. We'll be glad to try to help you out with them. But remember, visit our sponsors. They appreciate it. They're good folks, and they stuck with us all year. I want to give you just one or two little gun briefs before we get into our interview with Dee Wampler. You may know that during the week that the Virginia Sanctuary County movement has taken off. Virginia's legislature was taken over by a bunch of anti-gun Democrats, and they've had approximately half the counties in the state now adopt sanctuary Second Amendment county status, kind of turning the tables on the immigrant status. And what does that mean? Well, what it means is the sheriff and police are not going to enforce any unconstitutional gun-grabbing bills that the legislature may pass. So that's kind of interesting. Another alert, Walmart is selling their ammunition at cost. Resist the urge to run to Walmart and buy that. They don't need to be helped. They're anti-gun. They use every penny to work against us. I don't care if they're giving it to us at half price off. Just don't buy it. Go to any other stores, particularly McCoy's, but some other store, and buy your ammunition. We don't want, like we've done with China, to start funding the enemy. We built up China, so they're a real threat now because we all liked having $99 microwaves that only last a year. Whereas my first microwave, Charlie, was $5.99, and I think it lasted 10 years.
Amanda radar range.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we're getting junk from there. We're getting poisonous items, dangerous items, everything else. So just resist that urge. Another interesting thing is California, typically, Los Angeles passed a ordinance that said that they required anybody doing business to the city to also disclose whether they had any ties with the NRA. While the NRA has problems, we know this is just an attempt to harass people who might be pro Second Amendment. Fortunately, a U.S. district judge in the Los Angeles area issued a temporary restraining order and stopped that ordinance from going into effect. So we don't have to fool with it, at least for right now. But that is kind of the typical silly, stupid things that they come up with. You know, they'll call them loopholes. They'll call them whatever. But we don't need any more laws. We need less laws. We need the laws we have enforced. And I think we would go a long way if we had our laws in force that we have on the books now, particularly the laws. I was telling us on the show last week that the FBI apparently had 12,000 cases of so-called Nixus checks, National Crime Information Computer checks, that they couldn't figure out, you know, which was which. So they just purged them from their system instead of tracking them down and finding out whether the people could legally purchase firearms or not. They just purged all the names from the system. So I guess that's one way of handling the situation. I don't think a very responsible way of handling it. But after we come back from the break, we're going to talk to Dee Wampler. And he's with the law office of Dee Wampler and Joe Passanini. And that's in Springfield, Illinois. He was the DA up there. I think maybe the youngest DA they've ever had. He practices criminal law. And if you ever want to listen to him further than this show, go to The Gun Show, and that's at Springfield at their radio station, every Saturday morning at 8 o'clock. You can listen to him there, Dee Wampler on The Gun Show. But we're going to take a break right now. Remember, once again, don't call because we're not going to answer it. Or if you do call, just be prepared for a long wait. And we'll be coming back after the break. We have some Christmas music in here, which hopefully will liven up the season a little bit.
And by the way, Judge, I wanted to tell you that as soon as we get off the air, I'm going to go get my Christmas shopping done.
Oh, that's good. Remember, O.D. Cleaver says it ain't Christmas unless there's a gun under the tree. We'll be right back, folks, with Dee Wampler from Springfield, Missouri. We'll be right back.
step up to the firing line. Armed Alabama is back. Questions, comments, and texts at 343-0106.
Housetop reindeer paws, out jumps good old Santa Claus, down through the chimney with lots of toys, all for the little ones' Christmas joys.
Ho, ho, ho.
Oh, who wouldn't go?
Ho, ho, ho.
Who wouldn't go? Up on the housetop, click, 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 down through the chimney with good Saint Nick.
It is my pleasure to welcome Dee Wampler, who is an attorney in Springfield, Missouri. And Dee, can you guess who was singing that song?
I was hoping it was Santa Claus.
That's close. That is Gene Autry, the Christmas Cowboy. I had to dig to get back into one of those. But I
remember Gene Autry and Roy Rogers and Tom Mix.
When things were...
I'm 79 years of age. I remember when Roosevelt died and when the Japanese surrendered.
There you go. I still have that newspaper my mother saved. I shouldn't say the word. JAPS, surrender, is what it said here. But, folks, Dee Wampler is a former district attorney. I read it. You may have been the youngest district attorney ever in Greene County. Is that right, Dee?
That's correct.
All right.
I was elected back when I was 29 years of age. It was many years ago now.
It's gone back quick, hadn't it?
An attorney a total of 6 years.
Hadn't it gone back quick those years, though?
Yes, it has. Yes,
and
it has.
Perhaps the best thing in Dee's resume is that he married a Southern belle, his wife Ann, from New Market, Virginia, way back when. So that gives him incredible credibility for me. And I noticed, Dee, that you, at least at one time, were active in the Civil War Roundtable there, which some of us started one here a few years ago.
I was president of our local chapter for a number of years. We did have a battle here, the Battle of Wilson Creek. My wife is a member of the Daughters of the Confederacy and Daughters of the American Revolution, and she's from the Shenandoah Valley of Virginia,
right?
Which was the famous battle there of New Market.
Right.
And that was the only battle, I believe, there at the Gap, where high schoolers fought. I believe they marched up from VMI, if I'm correct.
That's where John Breckinridge
was. High schoolers were killed.
Right. John Breckinridge commanded them, and they asked that they be brought in, and they had to use them. They were going to appear. There's a good movie about it, reason I act like I know something about it, called The Field of Lost Shoes, which you should get for your wife. It's come out in the last 3 or 4 years.
They have a celebration memorial every year at VMI.
Yeah.
They call the names of the high schoolers that were killed, and they step forward with a wreath, and they say, "Died on the field of battle, sir."
Isn't that one? And of course, most people don't realize VMI was burned to the ground by the Yankees, you know, as they took the area, which is, you know, just one of those little war crimes that everybody seems to forget about. But y'all's battle there outside of Springfield was Wilson's Creek, which happened just 3 weeks after the Battle of First Manassas.
Yes, and I did want to say that my wife's maiden name is Burress, Burress, and her grandfather was General Withers Burress.
Oh, yeah.
And he was commandant of VMI and also was a general, I believe two-star general, of the 100th Infantry Division. They fought their way through Germany and France.
Wow.
And got a lot of Southern tradition in me here.
Oh, yeah. And I tell you, most people don't realize what terrible fighting that went on in Missouri during the entire war, but especially during the first year or two. And the tactics used to subdue the so-called rebels was pretty brutal.
You know, at Thanksgiving right now here back in 1944, there at the Battle of the Bulge, we were terribly outnumbered by the Germans, and I believe we had 400,000 troops engaged. Eventually, we had another 600,000. We had 1 million men totally engaged, either as on the front line or backups to beat the Germans back. They thought they were going to cut us off and strike a blow. And
we didn't have any air power because of the weather.
This time back in 1944.
Yeah. I've, a good friend of mine who's passed away now, who was a U.S. District Judge here, Alex Howard, he was at the Battle of the Bulge. And I tell you, there were a lot of people that were never the same after that.
It was terribly cold, and I served my time at Fort Leonard Wood and several other forts here in the Midwest. And it's one thing when you're out in cold weather for a short period of time,
right.
But when you're living in it 24/7, it's bitter. And America, the snowflakes today, I use that term lightly, the college kids today that think they have to find a safe space and they're worried about being offended over something. They don't know the suffering that the young men suffered when they were 18 and 19 and 20 during these various wars.
I know. It's really incredible. Well, Dee, there, one thing I caught, and if you can't talk about it, that's fine, but I caught in the news, and I was hoping somebody competent like you would represent him, this young man that stupidly probably brought a rifle into the Walmart store there, but I don't know that it was stupid. I don't know that it certainly wasn't a terroristic threat, but I see you got a good settlement for him and that. I can't remember his name. I didn't.
He was from the Ukraine, and he's an American citizen.
I knew it was
Dmitry Ondrychenko.
Okay.
And he's a very bright, very brilliant young man. He believes in the Constitution, the Bill of Rights. He had no record. He had a...
Just bad timing,
permit.
He
loves weapons, but he carried a semi-automatic weapon with ammunition into a local Walmart store, and they didn't take too kindly to it.
And it was right after one of the shootings, and there are a lot of people.
Yeah, it was about 3 days later, and the manager rang
after El Paso,
and the fire alarm, and everybody went running out because they thought there was a fire. And one man did draw down on him. He had a CCW permit in Missouri, and anyway, he held him, but the kid, it was stupid, and his wife went on television and said, "My husband is very immature."
Yeah.
I hope that if I ever get into trouble, my wife can say something better about me than the fact that I'm immature.
Well,
but he made a dumb decision, and it was reduced down to a misdemeanor, and we got him what we call suspended imposition
right.
of sentence.
And that's why you have
probation, so he's kind of learned his lesson. It was not good timing.
That's why you have judges that have leeway, and you don't have judges that are computers. Like, they've laxed up on it some, but the federal courts. Okay, you're convicted of this. Your sentence is this. And when you get somebody young that the timing's bad, probably was immature, but he wasn't guilty of a felony. But the community wanted something done. You can work out something that teaches him a lesson.
Yeah, they charge him with a felony of an act of terrorism. And, he didn't mean to terrorize anybody, but he should have. He should have realized that the timing was not real good. But he just wanted to exert his Second Amendment rights, and it just wasn't a good time to do it.
Yeah.
Especially not at a Walmart store.
Well, that's right. And if it had happened a year before, they may have just asked him to leave. It may not have been a problem, but timing is everything, as they say. Certainly in politics it is. Dee, one thing I know that you're good on, and we may get hit by a break here in a minute, but let's just think about it, is what I call, and you call, the doctrine of peaceable travel. If I want to drive up there to Missouri and see you all, but I want to have let's say I have no permit of any type, I still have a right to transport a firearm up there. Isn't that correct?
Yes, you do. Yes, you do. You can drive. We're a constitutional carry or an open carry state, and so you can have, a long gun if you're 18, a pistol if you're 18 or 19, and you don't have to. It's better if you have training to have a concealed carry permit. But,
and if
you don't have to tell the officer that you have a gun unless he asks.
And if you really want to be safe, don't have any kind of permit. I'm going to Matt Canovey School, and I don't even know how to shoot. I have my locked, pistol in one container, and it's separated from the ammunition, and it out of the passenger compartment area. And I think every state in the country you can drive through in that situation.
That's true. I've written a number of books. It's a well-kept secret, the books that I've written.
I've actually got a list.
Great number. But I wrote one, Defending Yourself
against cops in Missouri
and other strange places.
I love the name. Defending Yourself Against Cops in Missouri and Other Strange Places.
Yeah, and then I got that from a famous lawyer out in California, allowed me to copy him. But then I've written a book called The Gun Law Handbook, and I'm writing another book now, and the name of the book is Show Me Your Hands.
There you go.
The listeners that are listening right now, if a police officer does approach you on the street or at your home or even in a car automobile situation and he says, show me your hands, show him your hands.
Do it. That's right. Dee, we'll be right back.
We got... Show him your hands. Don't reach for your billfold and don't reach for a cell
phone.
Because he may think you're reaching for
that's
a gun.
Right. Dee, hold on. We'll be right back after this break. Hold on just a sec.
Alabama is back. Questions, comments, and texts at 343-0106.
Away from Mississippi's bay with my old hat there for a sail. I crossed upon a cotton bale to Rose of Alabama. Old brown Rosie, the Rose of Alabama. A sweet tobacco posy is the Rose of Alabama. A sweet tobacco.
Back with Armed Alabama on FM Talk 106.5. And we have Dee Wampler with us from Springfield, Missouri. And Dee, the reason I played that is that song, Rose of Alabama, is featured in The Outlaw Josie Wales, which, of course, is set mainly in Missouri after the war.
Yes. Love that song. Love that song.
Yeah.
I don't know if you heard me before a minute ago, but I said my latest upcoming book that I haven't written yet is Show Me Your Hands.
I think it's great.
I urge everybody when they're asked by a police officer who's got a badge and a gun, never argue with a badge and a gun.
Yep.
And if somebody says, show me your hands, show them your hands.
Dee, my father, as yours, was an attorney. And when I started driving, he said, the side of the road or in your car is never a place to argue with a police officer. That's why we have courts. So do what he says. You know.
Yeah. A lot of people... The last thing they said was, you so-and-so, or no, I'm not going to show you my hands. And those are the last words that were ever uttered.
You can get a long way with nice language if you say yes, sir, and no, sir. And now, of course, I would draw the line, as you probably would, do you mind if we search your car? That's a no, sir, I would mind. Of course, I've told my children, I guess they may own their cars now. I know I bought them, but I told them before, I said, to tell him, officer, I wouldn't mind, but, you know, my father owns these cars, and he said never to allow them to be searched. you never know whether a friend of your child's has been in the car and, you know, some kind of pill is rolled out of their pocket or joint, and they're going to get arrested for constructive possession if you just let the police go on a search through it. You're not offending them to do that. But that's just something. No, but be nice about it. You're right about it.
We don't have a presumption here that you know what's in your car. There's some law both ways in our state. But if it's something that's obvious, if you've got a stolen television in the back seat, that's one thing. But if there's something hidden in the trunk or glove box that you might not otherwise know, I wouldn't open my mouth and say too much about it. I'd just simply say, I don't wish to say anything else till
absolutely.
Till I consult with a lawyer.
You know, I remember trying constructive possession case of marijuana. The marijuana, I think, may have been under the passenger side. I can't remember. But, you know, it was a bench trial. So I acquitted the defendant, who was fairly young, 21 or so. And I happened to know his uncle, who showed up in the audience. And I said, I'm acquitting your nephew, so-and-so. But I want you to know, and I'm acquitting him because the state couldn't prove the case, he's into something, and you better check in on him because he is on the bad road to getting in a lot of trouble. And
absolutely.
You know, it all worked out in that case. But
and I tell you what young people don't realize today, and I hope there's some parents and grandparents that are listening to this that will talk to their grandkids. If you're arrested on a felony, whether or not you're ever actually charged or convicted, you get a Hoover rap sheet. I had the honor of meeting J. Edgar Hoover 6 months before he died back in 1971. I won a big case here in Missouri, and he called and invited me to Washington, D.C. Mm-hmm. But he started the Hoover rap sheet, which now kind of has morphed into the NCIC, National yeah. Crime Information Center. But if you get arrested for a felony, you have that on your
forever.
Police blotter, on your records forever.
And people can't understand
that. You know, you can
always
sue to get it removed, but you don't want to be arrested on a felony.
Well,
because
that's right.
And you might have to list that later on an employment application as well.
And the thing about it, I'm sorry the public, you know, is you could be arrested, let's say, for a felony and be acquitted. But, you know, unfortunately, a lot of people just see the arrest and they draw inferences. And I tell you, Dee, one thing even worse now is we don't seem to have newspapers anymore, but these online newspapers. It may be reported in an online newspaper you were arrested for a felony, and you may successfully have everything expunged, but that newspaper's not ever going to be expunged.
No, and there's a movement by the liberals across the nation. It's called Ban the Box. And
yes.
when you go in to apply for employment, they'll have a little box there to check, have you ever been arrested for a misdemeanor or felony? If so, give details. Well, I know St. Louis has done away with it. I know Philadelphia's, many other cities have done away with it. That the cities, if you go to work for the city, they don't really want to know your criminal record, which is kind of dangerous because
especially if you're just spending money,
and they want you to work in a recreation
right.
thing, or if you're a thief and you'd be handling money for the city. But anyway, there's a big movement. That they don't want to check your criminal record.
You know,
if you join the military or any, if you join a law enforcement organization to go to work or anything at all, they want to know your background. A lot of times they even want to know your juvenile record.
Sure, sure. And as I tell people, you know, tell them, you know, the fact that it may be hidden, you know, like on our bar exam, you know, the applications, it says, tell us everything you've been arrested for. We don't care whether it's covered by a juvenile or not. And I remember a doctor friend of mine, his son was, this was actually medical school, was arrested for some disorderly conduct, jumping over a barricade at the end of a game. And I said, for goodness sake, put that down. If they find out, and they're going to find that he's lying, it's a nothing offense, which it was. Didn't prevent anything. But nobody likes a liar. And you start lying about
things. It's dangerous. Young people don't realize how easy it is to get into trouble. If you get into a car that's not your car, that's been stolen or something, you can
yep.
get charged with car tampering. A couple of years ago, I represented a guy. We have a lot of lakes and rivers here in
yep.
southwest Missouri. And he was urinating off the side of a fishing boat, and a conservation agent was on the shore with binoculars. There were a bunch of kids on the shore, and they charged him with lewd and lascivious
conduct. I knew you were going to say it.
Exposed himself, and they wanted him to register as a sex offender for 10 years. You know,
that's overboard.
It cost him a lot of money to get off of that charge. We finally pled him to something else. But, I mean, it is so easy. You don't think that you can get into trouble, but it's easy to get arrested.
We have so many laws that, you know, you and I can't keep up with them. But if you want to catch somebody on one, I had an interesting case one time. It kind of drew ires from a lot of people, and I was sickened by it. But I ruled correctly. You know, there's a whole group of men that go to parks and engage in, you know, homosexual activity with each other, and the police ought to put an end to it. But what the police did is had a bait, I guess you would call it, or an undercover cop who solicited the other person to expose himself and charged the defendant with lewd conduct. Well, the proper was, what do you call it, when somebody takes their clothes off in public and has
indecent
no sex
exposure?
Yeah, indecent exposure. That should have been the charge. Well, because the victim in this case is supposed to be shocked, alarmed, et cetera. Well, the victim was the police officer who asked him to do it. And there were like 20-something men charged with it. And, you know, it was actually a pretty easy call. And, you know, I told the police lawyer later, I said, why don't you charge him with what you ought to properly and clean up the place? But, you know, those kind of things happen. And, you know, even to decent people, gosh, the conservation laws, you know, they on dove hunting in particular, duck hunting, which we do a lot of down here, you shoot the wrong duck and you're going to wind up charged with a felony.
Oh, absolutely. There were some, what do they call them? Not whispering swans, but kind of big swans came in here the other day and somebody blasted away at them. And they filed on them in federal court, and then eventually we end up paying a fine of like $5,000 for two different birds because they said that's what it would cost to have raised those birds in captivity or some crazy thing like that. You got to be extremely careful what you do. When I was prosecuting attorney here back in the 70s, homosexuality carried life in prison.
Sure.
Selling drugs to anybody or giving drugs to anybody underage carried life imprisonment, and we had the death sentence on a lot of different cases here. We only had five volumes of books now, and now we've got 27 volumes. So, I mean, we've got so many laws. You know, we don't, lawyers get stumped every day. They don't know how many laws there are.
You know, Dee, I can't recall.
How can citizens know?
That's right.
What the laws are if the lawyers don't even know.
One of the old Romans said, I can't remember which one, the more corrupt the republic, the more numerous the laws. Now, how about that?
I mean,
it just, you know, everybody kind of knows, you know, you can get into the malum in se and malum prohibitum, but malum in se, everybody knows what a bad act is, you know, stealing from someone, killing someone, raping someone. But you get into these malum prohibitums, you shot a bird a day before the season opened, or your gun was a half inch too short. That's just a license, really, for a unsavory prosecutor, if he wants, to harass people and also to collect a lot of money in court costs.
Absolutely.
Which are, I know, you know, what we do down here, we claim to have a tremendous load of criminal cases, which on paper we do, but we file each charge as a separate indictment, whereas most counties put the three or four indictments, you know, into one folder, and they're counted as one. We file them all separately so we can get higher statistics. And what that means is, you know, some poor felon has got $800 in court costs on 1, 2, 3, you know, 18 different felonies. There's no way he's going to pay that off.
Yeah, I prosecuted the first marijuana case here in my county back in 1966. And now, starting here in about 2 weeks, we're going to legalize recreational marijuana. Or let's put it this way, if you can get a doctor to certify that you have some sort of chronic illness, well, you can get a certificate.
But I don't understand. We're legalizing marijuana, but we're trying to ban guns.
Yeah. Well, we got all these. We got DWIs. We've got fentanyl. We got meth. We have heroin. We have all these things. Now we're going to throw in drinking alcohol and opiates. Now we're going to throw a little marijuana in there.
Just for fun.
And half of the people that are going to be out here driving around are going to be high on something.
You believe it. Dee, we got a quick break. We'll be right back. Hold on for us.
Step up to the firing line. Armed Alabama is back. Questions, comments, and texts at 343-0106.
Welcome back. This is Judge Rusty Johnston with Armed Alabama. We have an esteemed guest for you from Springfield, Missouri. That's down kind of near Branson, where a lot of you folks have been to. Dee Wampler, and we're just talking about various legal issues. And Dee, one thing that we were talking about drinking and driving and stuff. I tell you, drunk drivers, especially ones that had, you know, chronic records, they scared me more than killers did, murders did, because, you know, they would swear on a stack of Bibles and mean it, that they would never drink another drop. And, you know, 6 weeks later, you know, they slip, and then they've killed a family of four. And it's, I wish the technology, and I know we could do it. I hate to have the government, you know, force anything down us, but I've read enough to know that we could install devices in, you know, every car starting at, you know, whatever year, that not only you have to blow into start, but they actually keep track of your eyes, because, you know, have people's eyes kind of go limp when they've been drinking, and it just shuts the car down.
Yeah, we have thousands of folks here in Missouri that are killing each other every day, drunk driving, driving under the influence of opiates and all manner of different things. And yet, you know, they're harping about, well, we need to limit guns. We need to have all kinds of gun laws and things. And, you know, our culture is going downhill, if you don't mind me sermonizing here a minute.
I don't know what Sodom and Gomorrah had
if
over
you look
us.
At all the great societies that have been in existence, Judge, since way before the birth of Christ on up to the current, most of those great empires lasted about 250 years.
Yep.
And I'm afraid that America is coming up on 250. And, you know, I'm worried about the decadence, the age of decadence today,
anything goes.
Materialism, frivolity, the influx of foreigners, the welfare state, and the love of drugs and the other, so many other sinful
kind
things.
Of escapism, hedonism.
And I'm worried about the culture in our country today.
Think about the children being raised by these hedonistic parents, that anything goes. I mean, that's just setting up another generation that's going to be horrific.
And the amount of child pornography and child molestation that's going on, the fathers are not in the home.
Yep.
There's no authority figure in the home. 40%, I think, of the babies today that are being born are born to unwed teenage mothers. And among African Americans, I think it's approaching 85 or 90%.
Indeed,
these
one
mothers
thing,
and grandmothers are raising these
oh,
children,
yeah.
and they're
Dave,
having
one,
a hard time. And we have these young men that are out there in society that have never
no responsibility,
an authority figure telling them right from wrong, and they get a gun. I mean, you can pass gun laws all day long, and they're still going to be able to get a gun off the black market. They can get one illegal.
As I tell people, if you can buy fentanyl on death row in Alabama, you can probably get a gun out on the street.
Yeah.
You know, one thing I always tell people, too, a lot of people get services, you know, before they hire a babysitter, and they say, oh, this person's never been arrested for, you know, child molestation or anything. The good ones, the good child molesters, don't have a record. So, that's a good thing to check, but don't,
yeah, grooming,
you got to rely on your
grooming
guts.
Grooming is a big thing. There's six stages of groomers.
Yep.
And they just gradually work their way into your home or work their way to your young daughter or your children, your teenage daughter. And you have to look out for who it is that you allow in your home to babysit.
Oh, Dee, I had a fellow judge that while he wasn't molesting underage children, you know, to have any sexual contact with somebody on your docket or a warden in the jail, or that's rape. And he was basically trading sexual favors for sentences he was African-American, with young African-American men. And I tell you, it was the hardest thing to get anybody even interested in that. It was unbelievable. You know, it's just, I hate to say, if you look, the communists claimed they were going to do all of this. They were going to destroy the family. They were going to destroy our churches. They were going to destroy patriotism. And they have. There are a few holdouts, but you look at the churches, for instance, there's so many of them that have been taken over by the ultra-left, and people then abandon that church and go to different ones. It's really incredible.
You probably never heard of Paul Harvey.
Oh,
but,
yeah.
He had great radio programs years ago. And one of his radio programs was a classic. It was called If I Was the Devil. It said, if I was the devil, I'd talk about killing unborn babies. I'd talk about sexual perversion. I would abolish the family unit. I would expand the state government and federal government. And I would censor speech of any Christians or people of faith. I would take out any vestige of Christianity in America. I would overturn the core values. I'd take God out of the schools. And then at the end of the editorial, he says, well, on second thought, the devil's already done all these yes. things. So the devil's already gotten all of his wishes.
That's right.
And, boy, that's kind of where we are right now. I mean, you know, I'd like to write a book on the culture going downhill, but I couldn't get my book written fast enough because the culture is going downhill so fast.
Like I started to say, I'm not so sure what Sodom and Gomorrah had over us. When you think about it, maybe cannibalism, I don't know. But when you talk about depravity, there's about anything. I saw a good article the other day that said, by the way, folks, communities can regulate pornography. And, you know, they can, but it's a community standard. But everybody's taking the position, well, that's just personal tastes. And, you know, you and I think of pornography maybe as a Playboy magazine, but this stuff is depraved and it's coming into people's homes.
I appreciate you having me on the program. I can tell you're not politically correct.
No.
And I appreciate that, and people that want to hear the truth will listen to these programs. I tell you, you got to teach your children and your grandchildren right from wrong, and they're not getting a lot of it in the school. They're not being taught about America's Christian foundations and history. They're not being taught properly about the history of our founding fathers and how they suffered. And if they don't get that in the public schools, then you've got to teach them. You've got
That's
to
right.
teach your own family.
That's exactly right. Make sure. Well, Dee, I know you got a ball game to watch, and we're almost through with the show. I've got a present I'm going to send up to you. This is a little bit of an ad. We've got a local author here who's written a book, The Last Siege, The Mobile Campaign, 1865. You know, Mobile wasn't taken until May 1865. Paul Brewski wrote this book, and I'm going to drop it in the mail to you tomorrow. And so you'll have a little Christmas reading.
Thank you. Well, it's an honor to talk to your listeners.
Well, Dee, thank you so much, and we'll be in touch later on.
And God bless you.
God bless you. Take care.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you. Folks, remember on check your YouTube or Facebook, and we'll try to have a What Do You Do With a Gun right after the Christmas holidays, and it'll tell you basically, you know, reading the owner's manual about how to oil it and do things like that, because there are a few things you need to do. They're not incredibly complicated, but you need to follow some safety rules. And the plan is right now to have it the day after Christmas, I believe that is Thursday, the 26th, at 7 p.m. on both Facebook and YouTube. So look for us there, and you can ask questions and do the like. We thank you so much for being with us. I hope you have a happy, safe holiday. And if you're all alone, pick up the phone and call an old friend and get acquainted again. It is this Christmas time spirit. And we will see you next week on the Armed Alabama Show on New Year's Eve.
And Rusty, to you and Barbara, Merry Christmas.
Thank you. Same to you,
Charlie. From the Moss House.
We really appreciate that.
And I guess we're about out of time.
Well, don't call.